We're talking now to Steve Carroll, who was at WTMA during the mid-50s when Jack Gale was there as morning guy and program director.
I don't recall exactly when in 55 I got down to your beautiful city, and it was lovely. I really enjoyed it there. Jack hired me. I was working up north and sent a tape down, and it just happened that a guy named Dick Drury, who I really never met, was doing afternoons and had left. And Jack was really in a spin trying to get somebody to come down and do the afternoon. So he heard that tape, gave me a call, and asked me to come down and go to work. I never met him. So I arrived there and took over Drury's slot doing the afternoon. I do recall that early afternoon, I don't know whether it was noon to one or one to two, they were still doing some soaps. And my job was to come in on station breaks from the network, you know, WTMA, NBC, for all of Charlie, you know, et cetera like that, and on to the next. And I also recall that back then we had no cart machines. Everything was reel to reel on these very large tape decks. And the way you had to work was to cue the commercials up, because they'd have a bunch of them on one reel. And you'd cue them up so that when the break came, or when you were doing your own show and you had a commercial insert, if it wasn't live, if it was taped, you'd have to have that big reel-to-reel job queued up, hit the button, and hope you cued it right. I recall going through that process, and it was really a pain back then. So that was a long time before the technology came along with cart machines and decks and that sort of thing.
Now, how long had you been in radio before you came to Charleston?
Not long. I'll try and give you a little history. In 1948, I was going to NYU, and I was majoring in finance with a minor in mass communications. My father had a very good friend that was chief engineer at WPIX, that's Channel 11 Television in New York, way back in 48. And I got a job working there part-time while I was going to college. Did some booth announcing, did a little bit of on-camera work. Everything back in those days was 100% live. There was no tape. And I worked on and off there in a part-time situation while I was going to school. And in 50, I went into the service. Korea came along and took me out of what I was doing, out of school, and away from that job. I was discharged in late December of 53, the beginning of 54. And I went back to PIX and went back to New York to see if I could find some work. Television was first blooming, and every unemployed actor in California went to New York because that's where television was. There really wasn't much in California. Matter of fact, there were a lot of major areas in the country that didn't even have televisions. So I knocked around trying to get work without much success. I did a few things. I did a few voiceovers for Capehart Farnsworth Television, where I got a few agency jobs and a few little things like that, Ronson Lighters, one thing and another. And I made up a couple of tapes, and one of them happened to reach Jack, and that's how we came to connect. And we've been together on and off for all these years.
So how long were you at WTMA?
I was there most of 55. I recall having a beautiful little carriage house in back of a large home in the area. Jack had started a little record thing called the Hound Dog Record Shop. He used to do a show called Hound Dog late at night on the weekends. And he had this howling dog on a loop tape. And in between records, you know, he'd say, "How do you like that dog?" And the dog would howl. You know, the dog likes that. And he was doing mostly R&B back in then. And so I went into the record shop with him, and we became kind of partners in that. We had a lot of fun doing Sonny Goldberg, the King Street Singer. Just had a good time. He then left to go back. He got a job in Baltimore, which was his dream, because WITH in Baltimore, I think he grew up with that way back when. And I left shortly thereafter and took a job with the television station.
Channel 2, WUSN?
Yeah, I believe that was it. And I wasn't with them long. I was about with them maybe 4 months, maybe five. And I left to return to New York to see what I could do up there. I wound up in Connecticut and stayed in Connecticut until 57, and moved to Florida in 57 to take a job with WLOF in Orlando. At that time, nobody knew where the heck Orlando was. You know, there's no Mickey Mouse. That's where I wound up. I think I was with WTMA for over a year.
Now, did you stay in broadcasting once you got to Orlando?
Yeah, I went to work. A friend of mine from Connecticut got a job as general manager of WLOF in Orlando. And when I had been in Connecticut, I started in Connecticut doing a morning show. It was a construction permit for a little station in Ansonia, Connecticut, which is just outside New Haven. And it was a CP, a guy named Sid Burns, who had worked with CBS, had gotten the construction permit. And I went up there to go on the air mornings, and the construction permit kept getting delayed. And Sid said to me, he said, why don't you do this? Why don't you try sales for 2 or 3 months till we get on the air? It'll give you something to do, and I need you to do that. So I did. And unfortunately, I think I did too good a job. I never wound up in the mornings. I wound up selling time. And Howard Kessler was selling time with me. He went down to Orlando as general manager of this station, called me, and I went down as sales manager and wound up in management and sales from that point forward. And I did that from 57 to 59, at which time I bought WKKO in Cocoa Beach, Florida. I bought that station. In 1963, are you ready for this? I hired Jack to come to work for me as program director of that station. So that's when we got hooked up again. We went on and became number one all up and down that part of the coast of Florida, Brevard County, Melbourne, Cocoa Beach, Titusville. Jack did the mornings. I owned the station, and, you know, we got together again. He stayed with me for a year or so. He left, and I lost track of him. I sold the station in 1970, but in 1965, I left the station with my brother. I went up to Virginia, to Richmond, and worked at two stations in Richmond. And Jack found me, and I found Jack. He was at Big Ways in Charlotte, and he called me. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm general manager of a little AM up here in Richmond, Virginia. He said, what do you want to do that for? You need to get back on the air. I said, Jack, I haven't been on the air for years. He said, well, you need to get back. We met, and he asked me to come and do mornings with him at Big Ways in Charlotte. So he did the mornings, and I did all of the news. Got up at around 4 in the morning, got to the station around 6, did the news, and we had the same thing that we, you know, did you ever hear about him and buckwheat cakes?
No.
Jack found this old country song called Buckwheat Cakes, and every morning Jack would say, well, and I used my regular name back then, Marv. He said, Marv and I are ready to have our buckwheat cakes, and on would come this record with buckwheat cakes, and, you know, people used to call us up. Well, what's the recipe, and how do you make them? And every morning was buckwheat cakes. So I stayed with him doing that until Stan Kaplan, who owned the station, found out I had been in sales. And he said, I need you to be back in sales. So much to my objection, I said, I was making a lot less money on the air with Jack, but I loved it. We were having fun. Make a long story short, I wound back up in sales, became the number one guy in sales there. And when they bought the Big Ape in Jacksonville, they asked me to go down. I was promoted to vice president of Sys Broadcasting and went down as general manager of WATE. And about a year later, Jack wound up in Jacksonville with a competing station. But we were back together again, only as competitors.
Well, sounds like you worked at a lot of good radio stations, including WTMA.
Yeah, WTMA was great. You know, the old theater up on the second floor. We had a good time. I toured for a week. Louis Armstrong had come down to do a concert or something for the station, and I emceed it. And he and his group were going to do several shows around South Carolina. And so I traveled with them for about 4 or 5 days and just, you know, introduced the show at all of these various concerts. Had a good time doing that. I used to sit up weekend nights with Jack while he did Hound Dog and sit in the studio and kibitz with him. And we became very close, and we still are. We're very, very close friends. He lives north of us here in Florida.
Now, unfortunately, there are no tapes that remain of WTMA from the 50s. So we can just use our imaginations to kind of figure out what the radio station sounded like in the mid-50s when you and Jack were there.
It was basically top 40 as far as music. Jack did a lot of R&B, but he only did it on that late night show. He sat at the console and he had a ruler, and he used to slam the desk, you know, in beat with the music. And while he was doing that, this tape of this Hound Dog was going crazy in the background. He would bring up the pot to fade the tape in and out as he wanted to. And he would come in and say, do you like that record, Dog? He used a very raspy, all right, Hound Dog, you like that? You know, that kind of an approach. and he'd turn the pot up and the dog would come in, oh, the dog do like that record, you know, that kind of thing. No one knew it was Jack, it was Hound Dog.
Now, this was sort of a transition period for radio because it was moving away from the largely network programming.
Yeah, they still had network programming on TMA, as I recall, because I used to do station breaks. Early afternoon, they were running soaps and they were running, you know, network news.
How much of WTMA was network programming during the time that you were there, just roughly, and how much of it was local?
The morning, so I know that 6 to 9 was not network. I'm trying to recall whether he took network news. I know that I did. I took network news, and I took breaks between some of the network soaps.
The studios there, do you remember them being typical of the day, nicer, not quite as nice compared with what
you've seen? No, they were very nice. They were up on the second floor of the theater building, and we had a separate entrance and went up a flight of steps. I remember the control room pretty well, a large console, you know, with a typical control board of that period. And then behind it, I had a swivel chair, and I had to spin around to one side. We had these large racks that held these tape decks that were all reel-to-reel. And I recall there were either three or four of them, two of them mounted in each rack. We did a lot of live commercials back then, which I think were more meaningful than canned stuff because you could get some personality into them and do a little better sales job, in my opinion. But all of the stuff that was taped was reel-to-reel. The front of these things were kind of a burnished, like a stainless steel. The reels were very large. It was a pain in the panty to have to work, you know, with those large machines. That was it. You know, it's an amazing thing. Jack still gets phone calls from Boston, from Cleveland, from Baltimore that remember him, and occasionally they'll mention me, you know, because we did so much together at Big Ways that, you know, it brings back a lot of memories. But we enjoyed TMA, and I love the town. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a very funny story. My wife and I were visiting one of our kids in Asheville, North Carolina, and we came down 26, and instead of turning south to go home on 95, we went into Charleston. And there's a big Hampton Inn in Charleston now, located, I think it's next to where all the buses come in, the big terminal. And we go to check into that Hampton Inn, and the girl at the desk comes up, you know, and told her we'd like a room. And she starts to give us a room, and I said to her, you know, I used to work here years and years ago. And she said, oh, really? I said, where? And I said, WMA. And there was this old black gentleman behind the desk. I guess he was a porter. He was very neatly dressed. He looked to me like he had to be in his late 70s or 80s. And he said, you work WT? I said, yeah. I said, when? I said, with Jack Gale. I remembers Mr. Gale. I said, yeah, I worked there. He said, what was your name? I said, Steve Gale. He says, I remembers you too. And he turns to this desk clerk and he says, you needs to give Mr. Carroll a beautiful, I remembers him and Mr. Gale. I said, really, do you remember us? Do you remember Sonny Goldberg, the King? Oh, I remembers him, the King Street singer. So I wound up with this gorgeous room. I remember being there. I remember having a lot of fun on the air there. I remember the experience that I had there because it was, you know, early on one of my, I guess my second or third gig. It was great, and Jack was great. I still love that town. I think the Battery area is beautiful. I love riding through the old streets there. It's just a beautiful city.